Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, and today we're going to talk about masturbation, mental masturbation. This actually came up on a consulting call, John. One of our students purchased some consulting, and towards the end of the call, we're going through a spreadsheet. Shout out to you. We'll call him N. We'll just say N. You know who you are. You showed me this elaborate spreadsheet, and it was all about like keeping track of how many products got uploaded this week versus how many we had a goal of. It was so elaborate. Part of me was like, I need this in my life. I'm very disorganized. I need someone to come in here and organize me like this. But the rest of it was just like, this is so over the top. Like if you spent half the time you did filling out this spreadsheet and like building out all of the cells and everything that you built in here and spent that actually working on your business, you'd be light years ahead of where you are. And so, you know, shout out to him. He posted in Slack the next day and was like, hey, I think I have a problem with mental masturbation. Maybe they should do a show on this of like, how are people not doing the work? And, you know, I'll be the first to raise my hand, John. I certainly find ways to not do what needs to get done. I think it is a common trait among humans. The folks that I've met who are not like that, they are light years ahead of most people. They just get so much more done and they almost are like robots. They don't have feelings either about whether what they got done is good or bad. And so you know, maybe we can humanize this a little bit in that, like, there's certainly some emotions behind why people are not doing the work as well. And so what have you seen? What is there one that comes to mind off the top of your head where you're like, you know, I worked with this person and they were doing X, Y, Z instead of just doing the work? I'm sure you've got a bunch of instances in your head.
Yeah. Probably the one that comes up for me the most, given my background of working with other people, that I've seen the most often is checking data or data, however you like to say that. So like constantly being in your Google Ads account or your ads accounts or your Google Analytics, just looking at numbers, trying to tell yourself that looking at numbers in and of itself is doing something, you know? So like people who probably are earlier in the journey will start running paid traffic and then they'll obsess about it. They'll be in their Google Ads account every day for like an hour or so, like looking at negative keyword, like looking at keyword lists and looking at this and looking at that. And it's kind of like, for me, that's a once a week activity. Like, or maybe twice a week. You know, and so it's very easy to get wrapped up in like just looking at stuff like data and thinking that, you know, you're getting yourself further ahead by looking at it or like tweaking search terms that, you know, probably happen once a month, like for one impression, and you're sitting there agonizing over adding them all to negative keyword lists and doing all this sort of stuff. Like that's just, it becomes a safe place for you to play in, right? Because it's something you're now getting comfortable with and you're doing enough that you can convince yourself that what you're doing is having an effect. And so you play there because it's safe rather than going out and starting something new that feels challenging. Or like hard work or something like that, you know? And so I see that a lot. People spend way too much time in their ad accounts. You know, honestly, most of the stuff you could do in there doesn't move the needle. Like from a management perspective.
I have seen, to your point. So again, we run a three-tier system around here when it comes to Google Ads, right? So you're, and don't think of it as like specific terms. Think of it as value to your business. So the least valuable keywords will be in your high priority. I know this sounds backwards. Your semi-valuable keywords will be in your medium priority, and your most valuable keywords will be in your low priority. And so in high, Google has free reign to show you for whatever the hell they think they should show you for. And inevitably, you will show up for things that make zero sense. I remember selling a product that had Phoenix in the name. And I would show up for all sorts of searches around the city of Phoenix that made no sense. First off, no one's clicking them, but they do show up in your search terms. And so I resonated with what you said, John, because I helped someone who had whatever the max number of keywords and max number of lists you could use, they had that. because it was all of those terms that had no clicks, mind you, but like one impression for like how to change your tire in Phoenix. And they were like, negative. And so they went through thousands of these. And I can't imagine the amount of time it would take you to spend in your campaigns, not working on your business, you know, excluding these opportunities that you may or may not spend, you know, 10 cents here or there. So that one actually like stood out to me because I've seen that one before. Mm. The other place that I've ran into personally is like design changes, right? Like what if I change my add to cart button color to this? What if I adjust, you know, a sale in my header? And like, I think I did this stuff way back in the day too. I was into all sorts of, I don't want to say hacky, but different things. I built a never-ending timer. So it was always set to 24 hours ahead from whenever you landed on the page that said sale ends. And it was like, you know, if you landed at 6:01 PM, it ended at 6:01 PM tomorrow. If you landed at 9 o'clock that night, it ended at 9 o'clock. And so I would do these little JavaScript Cody things or change the header or change the colors of stuff. Or I would spend time messing with things on the website that genuinely didn't matter when it came time to getting the right people to the right pages, and then just getting more of those right people to the right pages, you know, and really honestly driving them to a phone call is all I should have been doing in the beginning. Are you enjoying the show? Are you getting loads of value? That's amazing. If you can do John and I one quick favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, leave a review. All of these things help us to reach more people, change more lives. And it's one small thing we ask of you. So again, hit that subscribe button, hit the follow button if you're on a podcast player, and leave a review if you're on iTunes or if you're on Spotify. We appreciate it very, very much.
Yep. 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 Absolutely. I think, yeah. Messing around with little things, little tips, you know, this probably leads into the next massive area of mental masturbation that I think people have these days. And once again, like, I'm not going to lie, when we talk about these things, Ben and I are not pretending that we're perfect here. These are things that, you know, we both suffer from at times as well in different ways. I think everybody does to some extent or another, I think. So it's not a case of like feeling bad about these things or whatever. It's more just about being able to recognize when you're doing it and refocusing yourself. You know what I mean? I think that's the real tricky. It's going to happen. But a big one at the moment is like, you know, just consuming content. Consuming content and telling yourself...
Outside of the dropship podcast, of course.
Well, no. Consuming content and telling yourself that the act of consuming the content is doing something. Like, is taking action. And like, you're getting further ahead by watching more and more and more content, when the reality is that you're watching so much content that you can't even possibly take action on it all, or that you're watching content that's not even the right content. So that was leading on from your last point about, you know, that like spending a lot of time with little hacky things, little changes here and there. Like, I think I was the same earlier on in my journey, where I would constantly be looking around for little ideas about things I could tweak and, you know, picking up little tips off here, there, you know, social media, YouTube, Twitter, like wherever you hang out, and being like, oh, I heard this person over here talking about doing this little thing on your product page, so I'm going to go and do that. And then I heard about this other person over here talking about this little thing, and I'm going to go and do that. And all these little hacks are going to add up for me and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like none of them ever really moved the needle at all. Right. And so I think, you know, consuming content is important. Yes, particularly at various stages of your journey, it's probably more so than others. Like when you're at the start, you need to learn stuff, right? Yes, absolutely. And you have to consume some form of content to increase your knowledge. But at the same time, it's mental masturbation if you do that and don't take action. Like, actually go, you listen to that thing and you go and do it. And then you listen to the next thing and you go and do it. You don't listen to 50 things and then forget the first 40 and do the last two. That's like terrible. It's like such a massive waste of your life, right?
Dude, I was the king of this, John. I've got notebooks. Like, I keep them from the old days. Heck, I still have Apple Notes that are just like, I should do this and this and this and this and this and this. And the list never ends. It also never gets done. It just gets added to. And so, you know, to your point of like, we're examples of this. That is a great example for me.
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah. I've done it so many times. I mean, I like, this is all the time. Like, I'll be reading about this thing and then I have to stop myself and say, hang on a second, dickhead. You're not actually going to do that in any of your businesses. Like, you're reading something that sounds really cool, but like, it's not even something you're either at a stage to do or is relevant to your business model, right? Like, you're just not going to do that. Like, and you've got to stop. Just stop, dude. Stop. And go and actually do something, because you know what you need to be doing, right? You know what you need to be doing. And, you know, I think, you know, when I look back at, you know, a lot of the people we've had in our course, you know, Dropship Breakthrough. Like, if you're in Dropship Breakthrough, like, literally you got the full program. You don't need to consume anything else about high ticket dropshipping. Or I would say even e-commerce. Like, if you simply did and actually did everything in there in a focused way and consistently, you would have a really good business. And when I look at some of our students who are doing the best, people who have been on this podcast, you know, your Hollies, your John Grants, you know, other people, that's what they do. I would say, like, I'm not saying that they've implemented everything that we show them to, but, like, you know, they just do it. They go and they do stuff. I think that, to me, is the hallmark of successful people that we've worked with, is the common trait that unites them all is they just get in there and they do work. It's not always perfect, but they learn something from you, from me, and they just go and do it. And I don't think, you know, they're spending wasting a lot of time on consuming content often.
I think there's a bunch of mindset stuff connected here too, right?
Ah, like, sure.
Even for me personally, fear of failure's never been a big thing for me. Fear of success was, which is really weird. And I could talk through both if you're curious what that looks like. But often you'll find yourself not doing the work because you're scared of fail. You're scared of, if I finish this, then there will be a judgment result. I either did well with this or I didn't do well. I failed, right? And so if you never actually do it, you can tell yourself, well, if I would have done it, I probably would have been successful. You never actually have to find out. You never have to, you know, as the kids say, fuck around and find out, right? Like, and so fear of failure can hold you back from doing those things. Conversely, fear of success can also hold you back from doing those things, but in a completely different way. And one I truly struggled with myself was, I grew up in, like, I don't want to say poor. We were, like, lower middle class is how we grew up. And, you know, I was told often, mostly by my grandma, who was, like, really at the poor end of things. Like, my dad grew up, he had an outhouse till he was 13. He had to go shit in an outhouse in the middle of winter till he was 13. Like, that's wild. That's how poor he grew up, right? And so my grandma was, you know, step below that. And she would just be like, you know, we're poor, we're connecting us. We'll never be anything. You'll never be able to afford to do this. You'll never, blah, blah, blah. And I found myself, like, escaping that through entrepreneurship. And, you know, it's one of the best things that ever happened to me, truly. But through that process, I was holding myself back, wondering, oh, if I take this next step, if I do the work, I'm going to go to the next step. And what are my family members going to think of me? Who am I going to be to them? Because, like, I prove their story wrong. I'm also just, like, you know, I turn into they or them who they bitch about on every holiday. You know what I mean? They want me to come in on Black Friday. They want, like, I turn into that. And so that actually scared me away from doing the work, because I didn't want to lose the relationships that I had in my life. And so whether it's fear of failure for you, or whether it's fear of success or something completely different, don't sleep on the mindset aspect of this. I know John and I, we preach often to our students what Valentina can do for them. Valentina was at our last live event. Elliot Rowe and Valentina will likely be at Salt Lake City in July. We'd love to see you there if you're a member of our course as well. Mindset's a big deal here. And I think too many people get caught up in the what if. What if I fail? What if I succeed even? That holds them back from just doing the work and finding out, because the time's going to pass anyway. Why sit in that, the emotional spell that you end up sitting in and finding other things to screw around? For me, it's poker. I'll just have, like, a poker game going on the side here. And it's fine for most of the day until I'm pretty good at poker. So I end up getting it to the final table. And then it's like, oh, thank God I don't have to do this thing over here. I can focus for 2 hours on the final table and try to win $19 or whatever, you know, small tournament I'm playing in. And so, yeah, mindset's a big, big thing here. And so I'm not even sure I'm qualified enough to address it. I'm happy enough to share my story. But I think that comes up for a lot of people. And like I said back in the beginning, there's these robotic people who are 100% on the spectrum, as I probably am as well, who just, like, don't have emotions. They don't care. They just execute. Whether they succeed or fail, however you want to word those things, they just learn from it, move on to the next thing, and they just keep doing and doing and doing. And they tend to be the most successful people I've ever met. They're emotionless, and they just continue taking action.
Yeah. I think the fear of success thing that you mentioned, I think that's a really interesting one. I think it's one that people overlook. I was reading a bit about this the other day, and I can't remember off the top of my head where I should be attributing this to. But I thought it was a really interesting take on it. is that fear of success is actually much bigger than people think, right? If you think about fear, what does fear come from? Often it comes from change. So we're fearful of change, right? Things changing. And so everybody focuses on fear of failure. But like when you look at what failure actually means, it means zero change, right? So like if you fail at doing something, you're in exactly the same place you're in now. So let's say I'm going to start a business and it fails, like a dropshipping business, you're not going to be backwards financially, really. You're just going to be where you are right now. So you haven't actually, you won't actually experience any change. So how can you be fearful of that, right? However, on the flip side of that, if you're successful, everything is going to fucking change. Everything in your life, like take it from me, everything in your life is going to change. You are going to change. Your relationships are going to change. You're going to lose friends. You may even lose connection with family members. I can tell you this, right? If you're married, you're going to turn into a different person. Your partner might not like that. You know, your friends are going to look at you differently. Like all these things actually change when you're successful. And that actually drives a lot of fear that people don't recognize. And that actually holds a lot of people back because they're subconsciously, not consciously often, nobody sits there going, well, hell, I don't want the trappings of success. I'm just going to not do the work. So I avoid that, right? Because that's too counterintuitive. But subconsciously, that actually is a thing for people. And so I think it's important if you're listening to this and maybe you find yourself getting stuck with the mental masturbation, ask yourself, are you really avoiding things, doing things because they might actually, because you're actually fearful that they'll make you really successful? You know, really successful with an e-commerce business means you're going to have heaps of customers. You're going to have a lot more money on the table, right? You're going to have heaps more work to do, to be responsible for. Like, are you actually fearful of that? And that's what's holding you back a bit.
I like the way you describe that, right? If you go way back, what do us humans care about? We care about being a member of the tribe. And if you don't fit into the tribe, you're outcast and you're going to die. Like literally you're going to die. And so if you become successful, you will step outside of your current tribe. No doubt about it. Your friends will treat you different. Your family will treat you different. You're going to be a different person. And like, I wouldn't change that for the world. And some of the things you said, I've been through. I got divorced in the middle of this journey. I've lost relationships with family. Not really lost, just they've changed. They've altered. They've become different. And that's okay because I like who I've become in this process. And so, you know, going through those hard things change you. And they change you in a way that you'll never want to change back. Like going through hard things is what life is about, in my opinion. And so entrepreneurship is the greatest self-development program you'll ever go on. So whether this is fear of failure or fear of success, I encourage you, if you're listening to this, to just step in. Leila Hormozi likes to say fear is a mile wide and an inch deep. And so step in and find out that it's not that scary. And yes, you're going to go through some things, but you're going to go through some things in life, whether you do this or don't do this, right? And so I really like the way you explained that, John. Like that actually hit home for me. So I hope anyone listening to this like takes something amazing away from this episode.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.